Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this program, Today's Issues. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Ray Pritchard joining us from Dallas. Ray's co-hosting with us, as he normally does, on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And Steve Jordahl stepped in. Fred Jackson went back to his news desk, and Steve Jordahl...
Fred has to run things. He's, you know, I just work for the man.
You guys tag team there on this show, telling us what's happening.
Good morning, everyone.
In the world. Let me make one announcement and then get to your stories, Steve.
Okay.
Folks may be considering where to make a year-end donation. There are a lot of worthy organizations out there to make a year-end donation. I would just say we would, if you want to make a year-end sort of bonus gift to American Family Radio, we would greatly appreciate it, and we would not say no. Okay, so if you want to make a donation to American Family Association, American Family Radio, at the end of this year, you think we're worthy of that, and again, we would gladly accept your gift and be thankful for it. Let me tell you, there are two ways to make a donation to American Family Radio, and that is, here are the two ways you can do it. You can either go online at afa.net, right, Walker?
Yes, afa.net. On the homepage there, you look at the top right-hand corner, and the little tab says Donate to AFA, and there you can donate online. So
that's pretty simple.
Very simple.
Just go there and click afa.net. At the top of the page says Donate.
Donate to AFA.
Donate to AFA. You click on there, and then it's very simple to make a gift to American Family Association, American Family Radio. We would be very, very appreciative. We think we've done a lot of good work in 2016 and standing for righteousness and truth and biblical values, and a lot of good things have happened this year. So we would appreciate any gift you can make to AFA and AFR. The other way, if you just want to pick up the phone, you don't want to mess with the internet. You know, the internet way to give is very simple, but if you're the kind of person that wants to talk to a human being, I don't know who else you would talk to, a monkey or
a computer,
a rattlesnake, I don't know, but if you want to talk to a live human being who works in our office and who will answer the phone and say, hello, can I help you? And you say, yes, I heard Tim talking, and I would like to make a year-end gift to American Family, then here's the number to call to do that. 662-844-5036, option 2. 662-844-5036, option 2. You can call right now. We have people here at the office this week. A few people. A lot of people say they're vacation days and they're not here. But we do have enough people to answer the phone if you want to call and make a gift to American Family. The number is 662-844-5036, option 2. That reaches us here at the American Family Association, which is the parent ministry of American Family Radio. You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of the show on AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Steve Jordahl and Ray Pritchard. Steve, what's in the news there?
Well, good morning, everybody. And let me just also, if I might, add my thanks to those of you who are considering that year-end gift. It's very appreciated. Well, top of the page at onenewsnow.com, that's onenewsnow.com, you can find some detail written about what y'all were talking about last hour about the UN vote over Israel, and specifically an article that has claims that Israel is making that the White House specifically engineered that vote. They didn't it just didn't happen. The White House made sure it happened. So you can read that at onenewsnow.com. Our friends at Newsbusters at Media Research Center have put out a top list of media offenses or media biases, top media biases of 2016. And this is, of course, because it's been an election year, the list is fraught with examples of our media kind of fawning over Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. I've brought a couple examples for you all to consider if you would like. I'm going to start with one that doesn't have an audio. I have some audio to play for you later, but this is from GQ. And the editor-in-chief, Jim Nelson, in April wrote this. The article was entitled, "Why Obama Will Go Down as One of the Greatest Presidents of All Time, Already Missing Our Soon-to-Be Former POTUS." And he said, wait, one of the greatest? Like $20 bill great? Like Mount Rushmore great? Yep. In so many ways, Obama was better than we imagined, better than the body politic deserved, and far better than his enemies ever conceived. We'll look back on history, hopefully, when we're zooming down the Barack Obama Hyperloop transit system and think, that man was rare, and we were darn lucky to have him. Mm. That's just good unbiased reporting there, huh?
Yeah. Who said that?
This was Jim Nelson, the editor-in-chief of GQ. Now, he's an editor, so he has the right to opine, but...
Well, GQ is a left-wing magazine.
Do you have a clip that goes with that?
A quote?
A clip.
No, I don't have a clip. Okay. This one, I don't have a clip.
Well, speaking of, you know, people saying Obama may be one of the best presidents in America or in the last few decades, I was watching the History Channel, and they were doing kind of a flashback of 2016, looking into the new year, and one of the segments covered the election. And they had different commentators speaking on different subjects. And one historian and professor said the same thing, you know, said Obama has done all these good things. He's united America. He came in a tough time and brought us together. But anyways, after that, and some of the things he said were true, some not true, I disagree with. But it just shows that some of these people are so out of touch with mainstream America, because obviously we're not happy with the way things are going in the Democratic Party because we elected Donald Trump.
Well, Obama said the other day that he would win if he was running again. Yeah, I'm not so sure. You're right, Wesley. And Ray, to your point,
why do you say that? I saw that comment.
Right.
I saw where President Obama said he could have beaten Donald Trump, and I'm just thinking to myself, well, guess what? It's illegal for you to run. So,
yeah.
What's the point?
Well,
what is his point for saying something like that?
He wants to continue to delegitimize the presidency, and he's a little bit
Hillary
deluded,
Clinton.
I think. Yeah.
Delegitimizing Hillary Clinton.
GQ, I always thought it was the magazine you went to look to see what suits were in style for men. It was a gentleman's quarterly. It's a fashion magazine.
Back in the day, you would go there to see what the latest fashions were in suits and ties and shirts and what all the stylish people wearing. I got to admit, Steve, I haven't seen an issue of GQ in many years, but back in the day, yeah.
Yeah.
So the editor of GQ thinks Obama maybe deserves to be on the $20 bill or up on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, and to underscore the point, and folks, I'm going to ask you to look very closely at your radio as I show you this picture. I brought it into the studio. They have a picture accompanying this of Barack Obama seated in the Lincoln Memorial, and he's all whitewashed like a statue.
His face takes the place of President Lincoln
in the suit,
picture.
I think, too. Yeah.
What is that in GQ?
That's the picture that went with the lead article in GQ.
Can you imagine if an editor did that to Trump? You know, put Trump in there in Lincoln's spot.
Yeah, I think
the outcry that would come.
We'd never hear the end of that.
I don't think so. So 2016 was, of course, the year of this crazy campaign, and Hillary Clinton was pushing for all her might, along with the help of the media. And I wanted to play you a couple clips. This is Joy Reid of MSNBC on A Place for Politics. This was said April 8th. Brent, cut one.
You know, I think that if you look at Hillary Clinton's qualifications, I mean, you know, since the founding fathers, has anyone tried to run for president with more on their resume? So I think on its
John
face.
John Quincy Adams, maybe.
Maybe John Quincy Adams, true. Jefferson Adams. I think you have to go back, like, literally to the 18th century to find somebody with a more packed resume than Hillary Clinton.
So immediately, as soon as they laud her, they kind of undercut their own argument, but.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a monumental loss then. If you got the best resume in the history of America and you still lost?
Mm-hmm. Right.
To
you should be compared to Thomas Jefferson, and you still lost to Donald Trump.
You missed,
I wonder if the FBI investigation goes on your resume. If you have to
It's lengthy.
Yes, but when you put it on the resume, it's titled as interactions with the FBI. So yeah, it looks like a positive thing.
That's right.
Like they were consulting.
I was interviewed and I passed the
FBI.
I was interviewed with the FBI.
That's right.
All right. So that's who was that we were just listening
that
to?
That was Joy Reid, an exchange on MSNBC's A Place for Politics from April 8th. And she.
There are times when the MSNBC audience reached triple digits.
I heard that, but that was one that was when that one guy
invited 101.
Is when that one guy invited his dog to watch along with him.
That's right. No, one more thing before you go to the next clip is I'm reading a Fox News article right now that says we were talking about Obama and maybe one of the best presidents, yada yada. It says the title is of the article is Democrats lost over 1,000 seats, governmental seats under Obama.
Right, right.
Under his tenure, state legislative seats and congressional seats.
And by the way, when you're saying that she has qualifications, we're talking about resume type stuff, in addition to what we were talking about, how she'd have to kind of twist and spin the Russian involvement or the involvement with the FBI, everything that she would call an accomplishment, you'd probably have to put a spin on. Her reset with Russia was massively a failure. Her helping craft this treaty with Iran, again, almost subterfuge the way that happened and everything. So I don't know how they say these are qualifications.
It's a matter of opinion.
Yes. Tamara, NPR, also known to be kind of left-leaning, and this is NPR's Tamara Keith speaking with Ms. Clinton at a press conference, and this was on CNN Newsroom. You have to listen closely because it's kind of in a press gaggle afterwards, but take a listen to this. This is number two, Brent.
Secretary, last night when you took stage in Sacramento, there was a woman standing next to me who was absolutely sobbing. And she said, you know, it's time. It's past time. And you see the women, you see people here, and people just come up to you and they... they get tears in their eyes.
Right.
Do you feel the weight of what this means for people?
I do.
Let me just stop as a reporter and tell you what I heard in this clip that you might not have heard as a reporter. When she got to the end of her statement about people having tears in their eyes and how historic and everything this was, she said, do you feel, and then she paused. Because, and I know this feeling, she wanted to make a statement, but didn't have a question. And she had to search for a question to go with her her buildup of Hillary Clinton.
Mm. Oh, brother.
This is all moving for me.
Do you feel the weight of it all? What kind of question is that?
It's the question that Hillary Clinton's aides text the reporter before the press gathering and said, will you ask her this, please? No, I'm being facetious there.
Or maybe who knows?
But it
maybe
was
you're
such
not.
A softball.
Do you feel the weight of it? Maybe it's the question that that they asked the Secret Service men as they were picking Hillary Clinton as she was getting into the car at the 9/11
one of the
observance.
One of the big stories from this year is the WikiLeaks revelations because they were able to hack into the emails of the Democrat National Committee and other top Democrat leaders, and what we discovered by the revelation of all these emails were what we knew to be true, but sometimes found it hard to prove, and that is that the mainstream liberal media is in direct collusion with the Democratic Party.
Yeah,
that was number one. There are many examples of this in the WikiLeaks emails.
And there was some video example as well as when there was a gaggle on Hillary Clinton's plane and her chief of staff was standing next to her to the right. And while the camera was focused on Clinton, you saw the chief of staff and he kind of typed something into his phone and he looked down and looked up at one of the reporters and kind of pointed. And then the guy took the email and right away asked the question that apparently had been typed on that phone.
Right.
So they caught him doing it as well as in the
emails.
And
then right after that one, he typed something up and handed his phone to the reporter. That happened one time also. But one clip that should be in here, if it's not, is if y'all remember Chris Cuomo from CNN regarding WikiLeaks. He claimed that it was illegal for the public to view the Hillary Clinton emails from WikiLeaks, but that the news agencies could view them.
Yeah, I didn't bring that clip, but I do remember that.
Yeah, it was. Kind of need to bring it. I'll bring it tomorrow. But
I tell you, who should be fired is whoever the internet security team is for the Democrat Party. My word, I don't know how they get. You know how that ever happened, but to allow the smart people, these very smart hackers, can almost get in anywhere.
That and the janitor in Denver who was doing security for Hillary Clinton's server there.
The right. Janitor in Denver.
They should. Yeah, it was in a bathroom, so they should.
Bathroom closet.
They should all be.
Well, you know this whole the election. You might argue, Ray. The results of the election could very well be. Go back to the moment that Hillary Clinton decided she was going to try to hide her emails from public scrutiny and from oversight.
Well, she hid it, she denied it, and then when the truth came out, she tried to explain it away. And finally, the American people just said, "You're not telling us the truth about this." And I was thinking, Steve, about this litany that you've been giving us of the media. Basically doing the bidding of the Democrats, Trump tapped into that. Is it any wonder that trust in the mainstream media is at an all-time low today after the year that we've just come through? We suspected that they weren't really playing fair, and now we know the truth. Well, I don't blame anybody for not trusting what comes out of Washington, Washington Post, or New York Times, or the others, because there have been a lot of underhanded stuff going on that's now being exposed.
Yeah, and Ray, the New York Times was more than, they were upfront about it, saying, one of the reporters writing in an op-ed, and again, editorial, he's allowed to do so, but he questioned, he says, how can you write honestly and objectively about a man like Trump, who he considered to be one of the most reprobate, immoral,
right.
Unqualified leaders. How can you write it's so obvious to everybody. It would be like writing about the KKK. You can't write, objectively about the KKK. You got to put in somewhere that they're white supremacists and they're racist. The same thing with, they felt a moral obligation to taint Trump with those same kind of attributes.
Well, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and with Dr. Ray Pritchard and Steve Jordahl from OneNewsNow.com and American Family News. What else you got, Steve?
Let me move on to a story that is kind of brewing in Washington. Some House members are putting a bill through that says it proposes a fine for anybody who takes video in the House chamber. And you might be asking yourself, so? Take video in the House chamber. Well, it is actually illegal to take video in the House chamber. I think C-SPAN has a right to that. But the reason they did that is you might remember the sit-in that the Democrats had when they were trying to push for gun control, and they literally sat down in the well of the House, and they blocked stuff for, I think it was through dinner, I don't know, it was for several hours. Anyway, the Republicans are kind of expecting similar guerrilla type tactics to thwart the agenda that they're trying to push through. And so they are putting a bill through that would sanction members $500 for a first fine and $2,500 for additional offenses if they take video on the floor. So let them sit. They're just going to have to do so in the dark, basically, a video dark.
Well, that was the earlier in the, when was that? Back in the summer, they were protesting. The Democrats had a sit down in the House of Representatives on the floor there, and they were protesting. They were sort of sympathizing with Black Lives Matter.
There was gun control at the time. They wanted universal background checks and maybe some limits on the the amount that a magazine could hold or things like that. But it was
right
over
after
gun control.
The Orlando.
Right. No, it was a couple weeks after the Orlando.
Right. It's just shocking to me. Well, I say shocking. I'm overstating my I understand what's going on here. But the situation with the liberals, they just never want to admit that it's people who shoot the guns. And, you know what I'm saying? And I was reading in Chicago over the weekend,
like
40 people shot or something like
that. Awful.
It was unbelievable.
Now, I think more like 60, maybe 61, and 13 of them died. A number of them are still in the hospital. I mean, Chicago, and some of those shootings took place. I was looking at where they were located.
And
some
you spent 20 years in Chicago,
right? Yeah, and the ones on the west side, not very far from where I pastored. And they said, you know, the gangs are just out of control. There are areas of the city that the police simply either don't or won't or can't go into because it's too dangerous even for the police. And it's just been, that's a great city that's been turned into a kind of a killing zone.
Mm-hmm.
And until there is a change in the whole city governance, which has been in the hands of the Democratic machine for almost a century now, until that hold is broken, I don't know that Chicago is going to get any better on that regard.
Well, and to prove your point, when you were referencing they blame guns instead of the individuals.
They'll say, the liberals will say gun violence.
Right.
Listen to them, they'll say gun violence.
A Vice News article about the shootings in Chicago this past weekend blames it. It says, the headline is, 61 Christmas weekend shootings continue Chicago's worst year for gun violence.
Right, gun violence. Yeah. It's the way the liberals describe it is it's as if guns get out of bed in the morning
brush
their teeth and then guns
load
themselves and go out into the community looking for somebody to shoot. Because the gun violence, when you say the expression gun violence, what it does, that's intentional because it's meant to
blame the gun.
Blame the gun and take the responsibility off the person who's shooting the gun, because they don't want that.
Right.
That's racist. That's stereotypical. You shouldn't be doing that. But so it's as if guns are just running around by themselves, and so there's no focus on who's shooting the guns.
And the irony is that in Chicago, they have some of the strictest gun control laws in the whole nation.
Really?
And and evidently does no good at all.
Yeah. No, because of the reasons we just mentioned.
Yeah.
What you've got is gangs in control of large segments of Chicago. You compound that with the fact that the police officers do not want to get in confrontations with young black males any longer because their life will be potentially over, so they avoid that. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
That's human nature. And so you've probably got no-go zones.
To boil that point down, the way it's working itself out in other areas of the country that aren't like inner city, the day after Christmas, was that yesterday? That would be yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In malls across America, about 13 different malls, they had flash mobs where kids, teens, young adults gathered together by the hundreds and just started brawling. There were fist fights everywhere. I'm doing a story about this. It should be up tomorrow on our website. Fist fights, and the police had to be called, and people were running in terror out of the mall because this mindset that morality doesn't matter, there's no right and wrong, and we're angry, and we're just going to act out.
Rebellious.
Well, I'm glad more or less, we had good news today on this program, and we hope you, again, had a wonderful Christmas celebration with your family and are looking forward to a 2017 filled with hope and optimism and good health. We will be back tomorrow with another edition of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.